you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, God. Father, we thank you now for your word, God, for your people, God, that will hear this word, God, for your people, God, that will receive this word, God, for your people, God, that will be changed by this word, God, for your people, God, who will be encouraged by this word, God, for your people, God, who need to be saved by your word, God, for your people, God, in the name of Jesus. We're covered. We're not going to worry. Amen. 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 Thank you, God. Thank you, Lord. We're going straight in. Amen. Thank you, Lord. God says, don't just believe in me, but believe me. Amen. He says, don't just believe in me, but believe me. Amen. Thank you, Lord. We've read in your hearing earlier, 2 Kings, the 18th chapter, the first through the sixth verses. Amen. Thank you, Lord. And we're going to touch on a couple of other scriptures this morning. Thank you, God. So if you're receiving this word, amen, you need to go and read 2 Kings, the 18th chapter, the first through the sixth verses. Thank you, God. And then Numbers, the 21st chapter, amen, the fourth through the ninth verses. Thank you, Lord. In summation, Proverbs, the third chapter, the fifth through the sixth verses, which reads, trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding. Amen. It says, in all thy ways acknowledge him and he shall direct thy paths. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. Don't just believe in God. Believe God. Amen. We're going to talk about this morning for a little while. Looking at a man by the name of Hezekiah. Amen. And in 2 Kings, the 18th chapter, that first through the sixth verses says, now it came about in the third year of Hoshea, the son of Elah, king of Israel, that Hezekiah, the son of Ahaz, king of Judah, he became king at that time. He was 25 years old when he became king, and he reigned 29 years in Jerusalem, and his mother's name was Abi, the daughter of Zechariah. Amen. He did right in the sight of the Lord, according to all that his father David had done. Amen. He removed the high places and broke down the sacred pillars and cut down the Asherah. He also broke in pieces the bronze serpent that Moses had made. For until those days, the sons of Israel burned incense to this thing. Amen. And it was called Nehushtan. But Zechariah, in that fifth verse, says he trusted in the Lord, the God of Israel, so that after him there was none like him among all the kings of Judah, nor among those who were before him. And that sixth and final verse says, for he, Zechariah, clung to the Lord. He did not depart from following him, the Lord, but kept his, the Lord's, commandments, which the Lord had commanded Moses. Amen. Amen. Hezekiah. Let's talk about Hezekiah. Let's just share about Hezekiah for a minute. Hezekiah was a man who followed the God of Israel. Hezekiah was a man who obeyed the God of Israel. Hezekiah was a man who trusted, amen, the God of Israel. Now let's talk about Hezekiah. Hezekiah in his life, in his family, he was the son of King Ahaz and Abijah, as they called her, Abi, sometimes. So his mother, Abijah, was a daughter of the high priest, Zechariah. And Hezekiah was married to Hephzibah. He died from natural causes around the age of 54, the word says. And then he was succeeded on his throne by his son, Manasseh. Amen. Just a little history about Hezekiah, but according to the word of God, Hezekiah assumed the throne at the age of 25, as we read, and he reigned for 29 years. Now, when we look back at the second verse of chapter 18, that's what it simply tells us. It says he was 25 years old when he became king, and he reigned 29 years in Jerusalem. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Hezekiah's reign was over Judah. Amen. And if we go back a little further in history, we understand that it was a split kingdom. Amen. It was a split kingdom. See, David ruled over what was Israel and Judah was all one at that time. Amen. But then at some point, there was a split in the kingdom. And Hezekiah ruled over Judah. Amen. He reigned, and it says that he reigned for a portion of his time, about 14 years. In co-regent with his father. Amen. That means that they both ruled that time, that country at that time for about 14 years. They shared the reign over the land of Judah. And then it says that during his sole reign, it lasted about 10 years. Amen. His sole reign continued. Amen. Thank you, Lord. His sole reign continued. But the 10 years, at the end of his reign, he had a co-regency or a co-sharing of the king of the time, the country of Judah, the land of Judah. He covered that time along with his son Manasseh. Amen. So they had a co-reign for about 10 years. So when we look at this and we sum up Hezekiah's 29 years, if he reigned for 14 years along with his father, and he reigned for his last 10 years along with his son, then his sole reign was only about 5 years, amen? But in total, he reigned about 29 years, thank you, God. And then it goes on to talk about how Hezekiah purified and repaired the temple of God. And this had to take place because before his reign, you see, from the time David had reigned and the kings that had come before him, the people of God had kind of strayed, amen? They strayed and they began to worship some idols, amen? And if we can for just a moment, let's go to Numbers, 21st chapter, the 4th through the 9th verses, amen? And we really want to focus on that 9th verse, but we're going to read that 4th through 9th in here, and it says, and they journeyed from Mount Hor by the way of the Red Sea to compass the land of Edom. And the soul of the people was much discouraged because of the way. And the people spake against God and they spoke against Moses. Amen. Wherefore have you brought us up out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? Now they're questioning God. For this there is no bread, neither is there any water, and our soul loathes this light bread. Amen. Remember, they didn't have anything needed at some point, and God has provided, and now they're loathing God for what God has given them. And then we find out that God does have an anger streak, amen? And the Lord sent fiery serpents among the people. It simply means, as we researched and searched a little more, all it was snakes that were venomous, amen? Snakes that were poisonous, amen? And when they bit the people, many of the people of Israel died. God had to get their attention. Therefore, the people, now you're coming back. It just said that you spoke against God, you spoke against Moses. And when the Lord sent the fiery serpents, the people came to Moses and said, we have sinned. For we have spoken against the Lord and against you, Moses. Can you please pray unto the Lord that he takes away the serpent from us? And Moses prayed for the people. Moses had to really trust God. And the Lord said unto Moses, make a fiery serpent and set it up on a pole. And it shall come to pass that everyone that has been bitten, when he looks upon this fiery serpent that's on this pole, he shall live. Remember what it said when they were bitten before, they were what? Dying. Amen. Amen. So when we look at this, and Moses made a serpent of brass, that 9th verse, and put it upon a pole. And it came to pass that if a serpent had bitten any man, when he beheld the serpent of brass, he lived. It's as simple as that. God is able to do what God is going to do. Amen. So you just can't believe in God. Moses had to do more than believe in God. Moses had to what? He had to believe God. Amen. Many of us believe in God. We've heard about God. We know something about God. But do we really what? Believe God. Amen? And that takes us right back, amen. So when we go back to, thank you, Lord, 2 Kings, and we look at that fourth verse again, it said that Hezekiah removed the high places. That means the altars, amen. That means the worship places, amen. Why? Because the worship places were no longer about just worshiping God. They were worshiping everything else, amen. And it also says what he did. He broke down the sacred pillars and cut down the Asherah. He also broke in pieces. That's why we went back to Numbers. He broke in pieces the bronze serpent that Moses had made. When God had Moses to make that bronze serpent, it was not for an idol for the people to worship. It was so that they would have to even trust God, amen? Because if they didn't trust him enough to look on that serpent and follow the directions that Moses gave, they were just going to go ahead and die, amen? Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. But thank you, God. Hezekiah broke that bronze serpent into pieces. And it says, for until those days, until Hezekiah came and made it right, until Hezekiah came and straightened that mess out, the sons of Israel were burning incense to that thing. Amen. They'd made it a god. Amen. But it says in that fifth verse, he trusted in the Lord, the God of Israel. So after him, there was none like him among all the kings of Judah, nor among those who were before him. That's what the word of God says, amen? There was none like him. David wasn't like him, amen? See, we kind of shortchange Hezekiah, amen? It says there was none like him, not before him. What? Not after him, amen? Amen? Come on, God. Thank you, Jesus. He trusted in the Lord. Amen. Hezekiah followed the God of Israel. If you look at verse 6, he obeyed the God of Israel. If you look at verse 3, he trusted the God of Israel. If you look at verse 5, thank you, Lord. Hezekiah restored Judah by centralizing that worship place of God at the Jerusalem temple. He cleaned it up. Amen. He caused it to become what God intended it to become. Amen. That worship temple was to worship him. And because Hezekiah did more than just believe in God, because he believed God, God set some things in motion in his life. God caused him to be able to defeat the Philistines. Amen. God caused him to be the person used to cause the Passover to be resumed after the pilgrimage. Amen. Remember, the people had been scattered, amen? And so Hezekiah put this thing in place, and he sent out some messengers, Ephraim and Manasseh, and he sent messengers to Ephraim and Manasseh, thank you, God. And he invited them to come to Jerusalem for the celebration of the Passover. Hezekiah not only believed in God, he believed God. Now, I want to tell you that when the people went, the messengers went. Some of the people laughed at him. They didn't want to hear what he had to say. Amen. They didn't want to join in this thing. But it says, nevertheless, even when they laughed and only a few men of Asher, a few men of Manasseh, and a few men of Zebulun came to the city. Amen. It's all right. There's just a few. Amen. But we're going to come. Amen. Anyhow, because we believe in God. But we also what? Believe God. Amen. And it says that only a few came. But it says, nevertheless, the Passover was celebrated with solemnity. It was celebrated as if it was a full house. It was celebrated as if all the people of the tribes had come. Amen. It wasn't shortchanged. Amen. They didn't cut the spread down. Amen. Everything went forth. Amen. With dignity and royalty. Amen. It says that it took place. And in this thing, we understand that Hezekiah was a great and a good king. Because he didn't just believe in God, he believed God. And when you believe in God and you believe God, when you believe God, you have to do this thing right here. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, amen? Lean not to your own understanding. You have to, in all your ways, acknowledge him. And watch this, he shall direct your path. Hezekiah had to not only believe God, but he had to trust God. So why trust him? Why is it that we feel that we need to trust God? Why trust God? Why? Because he's the God of the impossible. That's why. He's able to do exceedingly and abundantly above anything we can think or ask. Amen. Why trust him? Because we can be rest assured that no matter what it looks like, no matter what it sounds like, no matter what it feels like, no matter what the news is, what your neighbors are saying, no matter what your family is saying, that he's the God of what? The impossible. God can cause the impossible to become possible. Amen. So why not trust him? God is able to do that which you believe he can do. He is able to do, come on, go back up, Elder, back up, amen, come on, God. He's God of the what? The impossible. He's able to do above those things that we believe he can do, amen? Thank you, God. So why trust him? Come on forward, amen, thank you, God. Because God is able to do those things which we believe he can do, amen? God can do everything you believe God can do. Oh, my God. Word of God, thank you, Jesus, says with all things, with God what? All things are what? Possible, amen? The word of God in Philippians 4:13 says, I can do what? All things through what? Christ, or who? Christ who strengthens me. God is able to do those things that we trust him to do. I trust God with my family, amen? I trust God with my life, amen? So when my time should come, amen, don't say, oh, God's short on my life. Because when my time comes, I know that I've already done all that he has purposed for me to do, and it's his call on whether I stay here or I go, amen? Thank you, God. Oh, my God. God is able to do that which you believe he can, amen? If you believe God can heal, God can heal, amen? If you believe God is able to deliver even your children, amen? Even in their stuff, amen? Oh, my God. Even in their way of being hard-headed, as we call it. Even when they don't want to hear you. That which you believe he can, he what? Can. God is able to do it. Amen. God is able to look upon our lives. Amen. And understand the things that we desire, because his word tells us, amen, that, oh my God, he will give us the what? Desires of our what? Heart. Thank you, God. The word tells us that if we seek him in his righteousness, amen, that all things will be added. What things? See, we got to go and study that thing. What's necessary for us, amen? God is able to do what you can. Come on for it, amen. Also, watch this. He is able and will do that which you don't believe he can do. Just because you don't believe it, just because you don't trust it, just because you might be feeling a little iffy about it, your faith might be wavering, doesn't mean that God can do. He is able to do the things that we don't even trust him to do. If we look at our lives even right now and we think back over our lives, God did some things that we weren't even trusting him to do. God took care of some situations that we hadn't even given up to him. Amen? So he is able and will do that which we don't believe he can. That's the kind of God I serve. Amen? Thank you, God. Come on forward. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. So time and again, I want you to think about this. God has proven in every one of our lives that he can do what many of us can only hope for. God has proven himself faithful. He's proven himself trustworthy. Time after time, year after year, day after day, week after week, month after month, God proves himself to be faithful and trustworthy. God is always fulfilling all that he has promised to do. God is not a man that he should lie. Amen? God hadn't lied to us. Amen? Things may not have turned out the way we desired them to, the way we thought they should, but I promise you, God has kept every promise that he has given. Amen? Father, let your what? Will be done. Amen? We pray that prayer, and then when God does it his way, we tend to want to go what? The other way sometimes. But we again tell you, don't just believe in God. Believe God. And if you believe God, that means you trust God. That means whatever he says is going to be, and you already trust what he says is going to be. When you believe God, you trust God. When you know God, you trust God. When you follow God, you trust God. When you come closer to God, you trust God. Oh my God, when you understand that it's him that's making a way, you trust God. When your life seems at the end, you trust God. When things seem topsy-turvy, you trust God. When it feels like your friends went this way, your family went that way, you keep what? Trusting God. That's all you can do is trust God. That's all you need to do is trust God. Oh my Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, God. Let me just talk a few minutes about a few people who trusted God. Because he is the God of the impossible. He is able to do that which we believe he can. And more so, that which we don't even believe he can. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. The father of many nations, Abraham. Abram, as he was formerly known, showed us that God could do what we as humans normally deem impossible. I told you he's the God of impossible. He's the God that makes impossible what? Possible. Even with our own bodies, Abraham, his wife Sarah, they proved that. Amen? That was proven in their life's history. Abram and his wife Sarah, they were old. They couldn't have children. Amen? And what we say? We say, even when we don't believe he can, come on, Sarah, he can. Amen? Sarah thought they were going crazy when she heard them saying, Sarah's going to have be with child. She laughed. Amen? So even when we don't believe he can, he can and he will, amen? Thank you, God. So we find out eventually that Sarah conceived that son. See, Sarah had a problem believing that God could do what God could do, amen? So much so that she gave another woman to her husband to try to do what God already said he was going to do. Don't try to fix it for God. Don't try to do his job. Just do his will, amen? Thank you, God. Don't just believe in God. Sarah, you got to believe God. She believed in the God of Abraham. Come on. She believed in the God of Israel. She believed in the God of her husband. Amen. She believed in him. She knew he existed, but she didn't believe him, which means she didn't trust God. Amen. We got to go to a different level from believing in him to believing him. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, God. My brothers, three friends who literally faced the fire. Amen. You know, we were taught if you touch fire, you're going to what? Burn. Daniel's three friends, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Amen. Three Hebrew boys who God allowed to experience a life-saving miracle. And that's the only something that God is able to do. Amen. And if we go into the book of Daniel, thank you, Lord, and especially into that third verse, that third chapter, amen? We even hear the king declare some things, amen? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, when the king spoke to them, they answered to the king and said, in that Daniel, the third chapter, the 16th through the 18th verse, said, O Nebuchadnezzar, we have no need to answer you in this matter. If that is the case, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace. And he will deliver us from your hand. Listen to this now. It says, O king, but if not, let it be known to you that we do not serve your gods, nor will we worship the golden image which you have set up. See, they understood. Come on, Jesus. They understood this thing right here. Come on, God. Come on back with me, Elder. They understood this right here. That God is able to do that which you believe he can, and even more so, he can do that which you don't believe he can. Amen? The brothers understood that God was going to do this thing. But what they did or really understood was this. When they looked at the king, they said, if he doesn't choose to do it, it's not because he's not able. It's just because it's his will that's going to be done. Amen? So let me tell you that we have to believe God beyond what we believe. Amen? We have to trust God beyond what we see, because our faith, what? Comes by hearing, and hearing by what? The word of God. Remember, I can imagine those Hebrew boys at this point understanding this right here. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. Amen? Oh my, can you imagine how this story in their life would have taken a different turn had they yielded, come on, God, to King Nebuchadnezzar, amen, yielded to what his imps, as I'm going to call them, wanted them to do. Come on, God. Thank you, Lord. So why trust him? Because he is the God of the impossible. He is the God of the impossible. Even though these men were thrown into that fiery furnace, they refused to bow down to the king's image. And they are preserved from harm. They are kept safe, so much so that God calls the king to become a witness of the king. Amen? Because it was the king, Nebuchadnezzar, who looked into the fiery furnace and said, I see four. And then he prophesied something that had not even happened yet. He said, it looks like the Son of Man. Son of Man had not yet come, but he said, it looks like the Son of Man. Amen? It looks like the Son of Man. See, God is able to be so possible in the impossible that God will cause those who do not even bow down to serve him to, oh my God. He said he'll make your enemy your what? Footstool. He's able to take his enemy and cause his, oh my God, cause his worship to come forth. He's able to take his own enemy and cause them to cry out, because the word of God already tells us before it's all over, every knee shall what? Every tongue shall what? Didn't say some of them. It said every last one. Amen. My God, my God. Thank you, Jesus. So the prophetic words from King Nebuchadnezzar about the king, Jesus Christ. So if you don't believe in God, just believe God. The Lord Jesus Christ himself is our perfect example. Amen? Why we should trust God for the impossible. The Lord Jesus Christ himself showed us that we can and should trust God. Amen? Many of us don't even know God and can't trust him. But Christ came to show us who God really is. And what God's desires are for us. Amen. I dare to say that many were confused of what God's will really was before he came. I dare to say that many are still confused. And Christ has already what? Come. But I dare to say that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believes in him would not perish, but have everlasting what? Life. I dare to say, look at John 6 and 40. It says, this is the will of my Father, that everyone who looks on the Son and believes in the Son should have eternal life. And I, the Son, will raise him up on the last day. Amen. You know, I used to not be able to understand so much when Christ was speaking kind of in parables. Christ was speaking in third person, but yet he was speaking about himself. So where did the third person originate? Amen. Father, Son, Holy Spirit. So while Christ is yet speaking, amen, Christ is yet revealing God the Father, God the Son, and God the what? Holy Spirit. Amen. For this is the will of my Father, that everyone who looks on the Son and believes in me, the Son, should have eternal life. And I, the Son, will raise him up on the last day. Amen? That's the day we're looking for. That's why we got to not just believe in God, but we got to believe God. We got to trust God with our lives. We got to be able to trust that no matter what we go through, no matter how we leave this world, really no matter how we came in this world, that we got to leave on that day believing and trusting him. We can't go with him if we don't believe him. Because to believe him means that we understand that Jesus Christ was the Son of God. To believe him means that we understand that no man's coming to the Father but by him. Oh, my God. To believe him, we understand, amen, that we must be saved, amen, that we must be what? Born again, amen, that we must what? Practice living the way God expects us to live. And in order to believe God, we've got to what? Go and be able to shun the world, amen, and take on the cross, amen. To believe God, we've got to make sure that everything in our house is in order, amen. Inside this temple, we're in order, amen. To believe God, we've got to be like Hezekiah. Hezekiah's life was what it was. But Hezekiah trusted God. Job's life was what it was. But Job trusted God. Noah's life was what it was. But Noah trusted God. Now you think about these people's situations. There were some extreme situations. And there were some extreme circumstances. But they trusted God. David's life was what it was. But he trusted God. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Saul tried to kill him how many times? Jesus. But every time, God saved him from that thing. And then God took and put him in a position where he could have killed Saul, amen? But what he had to do was not rely on his flesh, not go on his feelings, not think about, oh man, you tried to take me out, but now I got you. He had to still what? Trust God. See, that's when we really know that we trust God. When God allows us to go into situations where we want to get revenge, but vengeance is mine, says the Lord. When God puts us in situations where we might have to help our enemy even, vengeance is mine, says the Lord. And even though his word says he will make our enemy our footstool, he's not telling us to step on them. Because he said he will make the enemy the footstool. You don't make your enemy your footstool. You don't try to get on top of them. Amen. God will cause that thing to come in such a way. He doesn't mean, oh my God. He will cause that thing to come in such a way that there will be someone somewhere that has done something, oh God, to attack your character, to attack your person. Amen. To put you in a situation or a bad. And God will cause that very same person to be your way into doors that you didn't even know were going to be open. Rahab's life was what it was, but she trusted God. Now think about this. Mary, the mother of Jesus, God, her life was what it was, but she had to trust God. She couldn't save her son, but she had to believe that God was going to save her baby boy, amen. All she saw him go through. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. And all the way to his demise, from this place, even the sinner on the cross had to trust him, had to believe him. He didn't know how to believe in Christ because he didn't know anything about Christ. But what he had to do at that moment on that very cross was he had to believe that Christ was the Son of God. So remember this thing. We can't just believe in God. We have to believe God. And when we believe God, we trust God. When we trust in him with all our heart, we won't lean to our own understanding, but we will acknowledge him in all our ways, and our path will be directed. Amen and amen. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. Hallelujah, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, God. Thank you. you, Lord.